Welcome to Frontera, a Changing America. I'm your host, Vanessa Dalbovich. Rampant violence in northern Mexico has created a new market for that country's airlines. Frontera's correspondent Hernan Rosenberg explains.
Next month, Aeromar will begin flights between San Antonio and Saltillo, an industrial hub in northern Mexico. That makes it the third Mexican airline in recent months to start service to the United States. And all three target San Antonio.
We are really starting to become a gateway to Mexico.
That's Rich Johnson, spokesman for San Antonio International Airport. The Alamo City has always been a popular destination for Mexican tourists. But many no longer want to drive popular highways controlled by dangerous drug cartels. So some have opted for a safer option. Rich Johnson again.
Many of these cities, such as Monterrey and Toluca, you know, they might have been drive markets in the past. And even Mexico City, from what I hear. But now with the security concerns, people do want to fly more.
Aeromar now joins Interjet and Aerobus with round-trip tickets starting at around $300. Southwest may be the first U.S. airline to also get in the act. It will soon offer flights from San Antonio to Mexico City and Cancun. In San Antonio, I'm Hernan Rosenberg.
As drug violence in Mexico continues, the number of Mexicans asking for asylum in the U.S. has doubled in the last year. But the number of people granted asylum remains small. From our Fronteras desk, Adrian Florido reports.
In 2010, about 3,200 Mexicans asked for political asylum in the U.S., but only 49 received it. Last year, more than 6,000 applied, but only 104 were approved. Even as the number of asylum cases has soared, only between 1 and 2% of all Mexican applications have been granted. David Shirk directs the University of San Diego's Trans Border Institute. He said asylum seekers generally have to show they're at risk from systematic violence and usually at the hands of the state. But because much of Mexico's violence is committed by drug gangs, that's difficult. And he said the U.S. has been reluctant to approve more asylum applications because
there are 100 million Mexicans who could apply for asylum tomorrow because of the widespread dangers presented by drug trafficking.
The challenge would then be distinguishing between people really at risk and people just trying to start new lives in the U.S. In San Diego, I'm Adrian Florido.
A new local nonprofit has formed in the border region with a mission to assist and support political asylum seekers who come to the U.S. in hopes of leaving behind threats and violence. The organization is called the Alliance for Political Asylum Seekers, and two of its members, Veronica Carmona and Maury Castro, join us in the studio now to talk about the alliance and an upcoming fundraiser. So tell me about this alliance and its mission.
The alliance started 6 months ago or so, but we're just now getting formally organized into a trust and requesting the 501c3 status. But the mission is to basically very simple, is to help Mexican immigrants coming into this country seeking political asylum. And because they're fleeing or running away from violence and threats to their lives. So basically, that's number one. Number two, we're trying to educate the public, trying to educate the public officials. Again, some of the problems that are occurring in processing some of these cases that are being delayed and unnecessarily long. We help individuals and their immediate families with educational challenges, with economic, with language, with cultural, all these things that they need. And when they're coming to this country and they're in need of help, so we, like I said, we formed this nonprofit for that purpose, and so right now. We've been helping one family in particular, but we have now, accepting other referrals, and we will be accepting more as we accumulate the funding necessary, because that's a big part of us. We're raising funds. Funds is a big part of our mission.
I would like to add a little background on the Alianza. In 2010, last year, I think almost 2 years ago, Ellen Nelson and other friends touching by the Emilio Gutierrez, the journalist, this political asylum seeker, was touched by him, his story, and they start a Comité Amigos de Emilio, and raising funding, helping with supporting pro bono, looking people pro bono to support his situations, his social situation in that moment. And because of that process, then many other people, they start to raise awareness in the community of Las Cruces and learning everybody about the violence in Juarez and violence in the border. And the case that and Emilio was trying to bring all this awareness to the community in particular. So that's how the process of this organization, including more members that came aboard, decide to be more formalized, because the crisis, the humanitarian crisis that we're living in our region is hard and is getting worse. And more families, entire families, are fleeing because of the same situation. So this start by a particular case, but then being a Comité Amigos de Emilio realized that it's not only a single time, it's not only, they would not solve the whole lives, but then start to find a vehicle to be better or have better capacity, best capacity to support not only a family, but the case in general.
So you say this stemmed from one isolated incident and you created this alliance. How many people are involved now with what you've started?
Right now there are like 10, 12 people around in terms of the core group of people that are committed. And around this core group, there's many other allies that are there, like people pro bono professionals that are there on call, or many other in solidarity that is on the list.
So who else have you helped that is seeking political asylum aside from Emilio?
Since Emilio, a couple of families have been referred to us, including five children. And they're in need right now of for some of the very basic things, clothing, blankets, furniture, and we have a number of people that are involved in getting some donations of this nature, so we can help them. Because we went through some organizational issues. We had to spend a lot of time getting reorganized, and some of the fundraising has been put in the back burner until recently, when we started, you know, really working hard to raise the funding. So all these funds are going to help those families as well. Some of the funds have been going directed at Oscar. That's Emilio's son. Mm-hmm. He's going to college now. And we've been helping him with the tuition, with books, and other expenses, again.
You mentioned just a bit ago that also part of your mission is educating officials. Why do you think that the process of political asylum in this country is so long and complicated and drawn out? What are your thoughts on that?
That's a good question. The fact of the matter is that it's more adversely impacts Mexican immigrants coming to this country for some reason. Their cases are delayed more in proportion to their race and ethnicity for some reason. I suspect it has to do a lot with racism in this country, and that there's a primal fear, if you will, that this fast-growing minority is going to somehow gain control and take some power away and take things that belong to them. So I think it's very kind of basic, and right now, for instance, there's three states that are pivotal in the election of the president, and a lot of these states are banking on how the Hispanic vote turns out. So you can see it is a big factor. Very conservative far right forces are also, you know, come into play, and they have affected how the laws have been implemented, And obviously, it hasn't been very, it doesn't fare very very well for this group that incidentally is has a larger number of people that are being threatened with their lives because of what's going on with the war on drugs and the cartels and so forth.
There's a distinction between a political asylum seeker and those who are looking for asylum in general because of the violence. The Comité de Alianza, it's focused on political asylum seekers because of their thoughts, of their beliefs. And this is very specifically some of the members of the Alliance are very encourage us to focus on that nature of political asylum seekers because of their beliefs. In case of like Emilio, like other journalists, like other human rights people that fight for human rights in their country, and they have to leave the country because they are denouncing the systematically fails in the system, in political system in Mexico. They are threatened by the military in Mexico, by the whole judicial system. So, but then the international agreements in terms of the how can we deal with the war or with the cartels from the binational governments, all that the agreements at that level is like a kind sensitive decisions at the political arena, and that's how in some way the people that are affected in a daily basis, like journalists and thousands of people that are suffering this problem, they are confronting with any kind of solution. And the other aspect from the Alianza that is focused is not like trying, like I said, we are not going to solve their lives or their situations in general, but it is we're based on the idea that people deserve a just, a fair treat, and with dignity. Because it's not about charity, it's not about pity for others, not only, well, sometimes we move because of, we feel those sentiments, but we would like to acknowledge those kind of values about dignity. Because they left their country, their lives, their family, their patrimony, not because they want to. Because they, for instance, the journalist, they said, well, we are fighting not only for our right to express what we think, but because of the right for the truth, give information to the public about the truth. That is another right, right? Another human right. So
let's talk a little bit about this movie event. Why was the movie A Better Life chosen for this fundraiser?
Well, there's two, three reasons, but the movie has just been released, as you know, and actually it puts a face on 11 million people that are illegally in this country. But it puts a face on that. It's a story that, for example, parallels what's happened to Emilio and his son Oscar, except you know, a father and son. And all the challenges that they're facing, the actors, especially Damien, put on a very powerful performance. It evokes a lot of emotion. Damien was an Academy Award or an Oscar nominee, and then. Emilio had connections with the producers of those films, and they facilitated that a number of copies so that we can use for fundraising. And they also intended to send one of the actors, was it, to come over here and help us. So they're very in tune and in line with our cause. So that's another reason. It's a movie that it can raise consciousness. It can raise awareness, it could be something that, that can change the paradigm is how they see those people and the need to speed up the process in providing political asylum. I made a joke the other day about it. I said, we're going to be selling things at the viewing of the movie. I says, I think we can make quite a bit of money. We sell Kleenex or handkerchiefs because it evokes a lot of emotion,
mm-hmm.
and it touches a chord in almost everybody that sees, especially Hispanics, because they know they can identify with them.
Also, at this event, there's going to be a guest speaker. Who is that, and what are they going to be talking about?
We will have will be connection via Skype with the director, Chris Weiss.
Oh, wow.
He will share with us actually those questions that we have. How does the director feel about the movie in terms of the real connection with the ground, with the reality? And about, there's a lot of learning experience that he got on this process. But he will share with us via Skype. And Ruben Garcia, he's the director of Casa Anunciacion in El Paso, Texas. It's a shelter where it's overcrowded, of course, of people that are that came from Mexico and stay. They don't have actually capacity. There's many, many people that are on waiting list or to receive some support to spend the night. So Ruben Garcia, he's well known about all this experience with the immigrant population in our border for years, and we're honored to have him as a guest speaker. He will share with us also that the connection and also the reaction of this movie, no? And the panel composition is very special composition. Olga Pedrosa, she's a city council of Las Cruces right now, but she's a retired lawyer supporting farm workers for years, and she's alive for the immigrant community here in the border, and she's well known in terms of the her analysis is so deep in from the economic perspective, how we are impacted at the global perception of this immigration situation that we have in the border. Carlos Marentes, he's the director of the Farm Workers Center in El Paso. Also, through that center, more than 1,000 immigrant or migrant workers that work on the field along the Doña Ana County. But they have the safe haven there in El Paso. They spend the night because half of their family still separate in the Mexico side, waiting for that long waiting list for this immigration process to get legal into the country to bring their families. So those farm workers are legal here. They have work permit and permanent resident, but they don't have a place to live because half of their rakitic salary, they have to send it to their family. These people ended here, professional people that leave their country with their capacities, but because of the lack of the English, lack of knowing the legal system or how this works, then they stuck in the middle of nowhere, dealing with their own crisis, being from the violence, the psychological crisis that may have, and suddenly are here in this country, waking up every day without knowing how they're going to pay the rent, how they're going to get work immediately, and mostly with those who are here with their children. So it's like a double jeopardy. They are in a double way impacted. And also I want just to say that we have available The Better Life for $12. Everybody can call us and let you know that we have available if they would like to have this copy. It's a very Dutch movie. And actually, the Jornaleros in California, they just had their conference and present this movie, and everybody was crying there. And people in the communities here in Doña Ana County are starting, some community leaders are thinking on take the movie like a tool to discuss around the immigration issue and the separation of families. And they start to have some local events like in Vado and Chaparral, in the community centers, presenting this movie and talk about it.
Thank you both for joining us on Fronteras today.
Thank you very much.
The film viewing and panel discussion will take place March 10th at 5 o'clock in the evening at the Alma de Arte Charter School in Las Cruces. For more information on the Alliance or the film event, call 575-571-2177. I'm Vanessa Dobovich. Thanks for tuning into Fronteras, a Changing America.